60 Minutes in Hollywood, starring George Jessel with Norma Talmadge, and bringing you a guest appearance that will tickle your ribs and touch your heart. Those beloved comedians for over 50 years, Weber and Fields. Together with Tommy Tucker and his orchestra, Amy Arnell, and the wonder child, Josephine Stark.
Tommy Tucker and his boys open George Jessel's office in Hollywood.
George, allow me to be the first to congratulate you on your birthday. Many happy returns of the day.
Well, honey, thank you, and I don't feel a day over 16.
Don't worry, your Social Security card will take that out of you. No matter how old you are, darling, you don't look it.
Well, you know the old saying, a man isn't old until he stops looking. And besides, sweet, life begins at 37 and 5/8. And nothing matters as long as you'll still love me when I get old and homely.
You may get older, dear, but you'll never...
All right, dear, I know.
Well, anyway, here's a little gift for you.
Well, a necktie. Well, thanks, dear. It's something I've always wanted. How in the world did you ever think of such an odd gift?
And if you notice, dear, there's a pin in it.
Well, a pin with a diamond in it. Say, that is lovely, honey, and I certainly appreciate it.
Oh, Mr. Jessel.
Yes, Amy?
Well, first let me congratulate you on your birthday. You should be very happy.
I am, Amy.
I should say so, to be able to get around like you do at your age. Hey, Mr. Jessel.
Yes?
Here's some telegrams for you.
Oh, thank you. I'll read them. Oh, Norma, would you mind holding these telegrams?
Oh, well, here's one from Gracie Allen.
Now, let's hear.
I've tried to write a birthday poem for our lovely Georgie Jessel. But to make it rhyme with his last name, I can only say, wrestle a trestle. Finish.
That was a very nice thought of Gracie. Yes, it was.
Oh, Mr. Jessel, Mr. Jessel.
Yes, Josephine?
How old are you, Mr. Jessel?
Well, now let me see.
Take a good look.
My child, I can tell you sincerely that I've seen, 20 winters.
It must have been wonderful for you to get your sight back after all those years.
Now, seriously, Josephine, I was born at the end of the gay 90s.
What were the gay 90s?
Well, dear, just like this is the era of mechanism, the gay 90s were the sentimental days, the hansom cab, chrysanthemum, swirling opera cape, free lunch, long side whiskers, leg of mutton sleeves, and the bustle.
What were bustles?
Bustles were something they wore way back.
I wish I were around in those days.
I wish I were around in these days. But if you hand me an old family album, I'll show you some pictures of what was going on when I was a baby. Norma, honey, help me turn these pages over. Now, see here, Josephine? Here's a picture of Fifth Avenue in the gay 90s on an Easter Sunday.
Josephine, don't the women's dresses look funny?
Uh-huh.
Well, they're all wearing bustles.
They look like they got rumble seats, don't they?
Now look at this page.
What's that with all the crowd all around it?
That was a horseless carriage, an automobile.
And who is that little girl with the long curls?
That's Mr. Jessel. When he was 2 years old.
Oh, Mr. Jessel, you looked like Shirley Temple, didn't you?
Oh, I look more like Temple Emanuel. But tell me, just look at this picture now. Wasn't I cute?
You certainly were. Gee, how you've changed. Alice, who is that lady with that beautiful dress? My, how thin she is around the waist.
Let me see. Oh, here it is. Florence Ziegfeld Jr. presents Anna Hill, direct from Paris.
That's right. I knew Anna Hill very well, Josephine. Oh, she was wonderful. She was the lady who used to take a milk bath every morning.
My, how could she get into the bottle?
Of course, the elephant didn't forget to give it to her. Now, look here. Both of you, look at this picture. Look, honey, this is Jack's restaurant. All the smart Broadway crowd used to go there to meet one another after the play. They'd have a cold bottle and a warm bird and listen to the latest remarks of the day from Wilson Meisner, Reynolds Wolfe, Paul Armstrong, David Montgomery, and the whole crowd of them. Now, you close your eyes, Josephine, and we'll take you inside.
Oh,
Hello, girlie. Does your mother know you're out?
Oh, go way back and sit down. Hey, Darnell, have you heard the latest?
No.
Well, it ain't out yet. Oh, 23 skidoo for you.
Oh, I'll make a noise like a hoop and roll away.
Well, wouldn't that jaw you?
Well, good evening, Miss Faye Templeton. I hear the music hall show was a lollapalooza last night. Fact, as they say in these days, it was a knockout.
Thank you, Jim Corbett, but not as big a knockout as you gave John L.
Here's to you, Faye. I love my wife, but oh, you kid.
Folks, you must all come down to the music hall and see Weber and Fields. They really take the cake.
Quiet. We're disturbing that young law student over there.
Who is he, Mr. Meisner?
Well, he's an interesting young man, and he has a great future. He's writing songs to enable him to study law. He's just finished a song a little while ago.
Well, can't we get him to sing it?
Yeah.
Yes, please.
All right, quiet, everybody. Our studious young friend will now sing his latest song. Get up, young man, get up. Folks, Mr. James J. Walker.
In this kaleidoscopic age that we live in, it might not be amiss that I've written this ballad, Will You Love Me in December, as you do in May. Will you love me in December, as you do in May? Will you love me in the same old-fashioned way? When my hair is turned to gray, will you kiss me then and say that you love me in December as you do?
Joe Weber and Lou Fields.
Here, you have your usual table right over here in the corner where you can be alone.
Yes, all right. Thank you. Joe.
What?
Let us stay late tonight, you know. We've got to rehearse the mesmerism scene in the morning.
Yeah.
So we'll get over here in the quiet and nobody will hear us. Over here. That's all right.
Now,
You start it and see if you can remember it.
Yeah, well, let me see if I start it.
Go on.
Say, Meyer.
Yeah?
I don't want to have anything to do with you.
Why?
You ain't no friend of mine.
Now, don't say that. Now, you hurt my feeling when you say that.
Well, I can't help it, Mike.
Now, Mike, I am your friend.
No, well...
In fact, I stuck up for you.
Now, when I was in my biggest trouble, you didn't say you were sorry for me.
I did say I was sorry for you. And I stuck up for you, too.
Yes?
Remember when Otto Bloom said that you wasn't fit to live with pigs? I said, yes, you was.
Oh, well, then, that's different.
Well, you see.
Yeah.
I see, Mike.
What?
Oh, look. See that fella sitting in the corner there?
The fella with the tall hair?
Yes.
Yeah.
You know what he is?
What?
He's a mesmerist.
Huh?
He's a mesmerist.
Oh, you mean a tippler hister?
A tippler hister, yes. You know, it's marvelous what he can do by just looking at you.
Is that so?
He's got such a power in his eyes.
Uh-huh.
That when he looks at you and makes like this,
yeah,
you've got to do whatever you don't want to do.
Ah, go on.
He can make you think who you ain't.
Oh, what you talking? I know I is who I are.
But hey, you know, I can mesmerize you.
Could you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't you believe it?
No, I don't.
Would you like to try it?
Yeah, I got no place to go.
Well, I stand here. Now, look at me.
Yeah.
Close your eyes. No. Close your eyes. Mm-hmm. Now, look at me. Close your eyes.
Hey, I know that game. Shut your eyes and open your mouth.
Now, that isn't the game.
No.
Now, look at me.
Yeah.
Close your eyes. You feel something?
You got a hose in your mouth?
Gracious me, that... Do you know what that is?
What?
That is the elixir of life.
Who does?
Does what?
Flicks his wife.
Come right here.
I'm here.
As you are.
Yeah.
Now, Mike, but you think the same as I'm thinking.
If I do, there'll be a fight.
You... Close your eyes. Now I got you.
You could have me.
I don't want you. Now, Mike, when you open your eyes, you'll imagine you're traveling on the Lightning Express. The train is going very fast, so hold on tight. Tippy, you're off. You're in Chicago. You're in Milwaukee. You're in St. Louis. You're in Kansas City. You're in Los Angeles. You're in Hollywood. You're in San Francisco. You're in San Francisco. Mike. Mike. Come out of Hollywood. Mike. Mike. Mike, sorry, I can't get him out of Hollywood. Mike, please. Please listen to me. Mike. Mike. He must have a girl in Hollywood. Will you please? All right. All right.
Ah.
Gracious, how you frightened me. Well, what do you think of it?
I told you I was in Atlantic City all the time.
All right, Joy. I think you remember that scene very well.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, we won't have to rehearse it tomorrow.
Good.
Waiter.
Yes, sir?
Two glasses of beer, please.
Right here. I was expecting you. Here's your beer, Mr. Weber. Here's your beer, Mr. Beer.
Thank you. Well, how about a toast, Joe?
A toast? Well, here's to our wives and sweethearts, hoping that they may never meet.
Well, now, here's to a little boy who's having a birthday today.
Yeah, yes.
Every good wish in the world to you, Georgie Jetter, and may God bless you.
And me, too.
This is the George Jessel Show, Norma Talmadge speaking. We're taking little 8-year-old Josephine Starr for a trip down memory lane.
Oh, Mr. Jessel, what's this place on this page?
Oh, that's Delmonico's, a famous New York restaurant of the gay 90s. A restaurant that used to boast of having as their finest patron the famous Diamond Jim.
Who was he?
Oh, he was everybody's friend, Josephine. He entertained lavishly. He knew everybody and he went everywhere. He changed his diamonds every day, just like you do, your little dresses. When anyone asked him why he wore so many diamonds, he'd answer, well, them as has them wears them. He had an appetite that would put Henry VIII to shame, and he used to say, well, what's the use of having a lot of money if you can't make yourself and your friends happy? He had a quality as real as his diamonds. He was a fine man, Diamond Jim. Let's go into Delmonico's, child, and maybe we'll see him. Yes, sir?
Oh, new here, aren't you? What's your name?
Louis Schultenheimer.
Louis? You must always say sir when addressing a customer. What did you say your name was?
Sir Louis Schultenheimer.
Did you say your name was?
Sir Louis Schultenheimer.
That's a good one, Louis. You take the cake.
How did you enjoy the steak you just had, Diamond Jim?
Oh, fine, fine. Now you sit down and have one with me. But first, bring me some chicken.
Light or dark meat, leg or the upper joint?
Yes, that'll be enough to start with. And for an appetizer, you might bring me a lobster.
How would you like it, sir?
Well, if it's no bigger than the one that I had last night, I'd like it for a tie pin. say, where's my soup? What's taking that so long?
Well, you remember, Diamond Jim, you ordered the turtle soup, and you know how slow they are.
Oh! Glory, that's a pippin. You're all right with me.
Begging your pardon, Diamond Jim, but last night when you ordered that whole apple pie for dessert, you might not have noticed it, but you ate the plate, too.
You know, I thought that crust was pretty well done. One thing about me, Louie, when I do make a mistake, it's a corker.
Diamond Jim.
Yes.
The lovely lady has just come in. I know you will want to see her.
The lovely lady? Which one?
The loveliest of them all, Diamond Jim. Lillian Russell.
By gad, there she is. I'm going over to her. And, Louie, whatever I order over there, repeat on this table over here, and I'll have it for dessert.
Yes, sir.
Well, it's good to see you, Lillian.
And it's good to see you, Jim.
Why, you walk in beauty like a goddess from old mythology. Let's sit down, Lillian, and you have a glass of champagne and cheer me up a bit.
Feeling a bit down in the mouth, Jim?
Yes. Been kind of melancholy all day. That's why I'm wearing my dark diamonds today. I always wear my set of dark ones when I feel kind of low in spirit. Would you believe it? My appetite's gone. I can't eat a bite. I came in here to get a mouthful or two of Delmonico's famous chicken. And I find I haven't got my usual appetite. And you know, when anybody hasn't got an appetite for Delmonico's chicken, there's something wrong with them. So I thought I'd try an appetizer. And I ate a pound of their famous caviar.
A pound of caviar?
Yes, and that didn't help much. So I ordered 3 dozen oysters and, you know, to kind of sort of whip up my appetite.
3 dozen.
And that didn't help much either. So then I tried a couple of bowls of soup. I thought that would kind of set me right for the chicken. And it didn't help a bit.
Oh, Jim, what else?
But Diamond Jim is never late. You know, I once heard say that a spiced lobster is very good for the appetite. So I ordered one. And would you believe it? Even after I ate that whole lobster, I still didn't feel very hungry for the chicken.
I've heard, Jim, that mushrooms are very good for the appetite.
Is that so? Mushrooms, eh? Well, I'll try them. You know why I need an appetizer? Oh, waiter.
Yes, sir?
Get me a large order of mushrooms.
Yes, sir.
And waiter.
Yes, sir?
There's no use of wasting those mushrooms. Tell the chef to put a double porterhouse steak under them.
Yes, sir.
Well, how's the show getting on, Lillian?
Standing room every night, Jim, but...
What, Lillian?
I don't know, but I'm not getting the usual number of curtain calls I used to. Do you think the people are tiring of me, Jim?
What? Tire of Lillian Russell? Never. Well, you're just imagining things. There is and will only be one, Lillian Russell. You know, you were molded by a master hand. There will never be another like you. Tired of you? Nonsense.
Thanks, Jim. It was lovely of you to say that. But we can't go on forever. There are always new and beautiful girls coming here to New York to sing and dance. They say the roof garden is packed every night, and the girls there are very beautiful. And at Hammerstein's, there's a girl who swings out from the stage on a rope of roses and throws a goddess to the men below. Soon, Jim, they'll forget us.
Yes, but they're just girls. But you, Lillian, you're an institution in this city. You are New York. Lillian Russell, Delmonico's, the Metropolitan Opera, the Flatiron Building, Central Park.
And Diamond Jim.
Yes, but I'll soon be forgotten. But you won't, Lillian. You're one of the great women. Like Helen of Troy, Cleopatra, and Du Barry.
Oh, you're very kind to put me in that class. I suppose each one of us has to have his or her moment of glory and then make way for the newcomers. And when that time comes, we must take it like thoroughbred.
That's right, Lillian. Chin up! Like I have kept mine up every time I asked you to marry me, and you refused me. Well, lovely one, let's drink a toast to those who come after us. Let me fill your glass with champagne. Waiter, bring me a root beer.
Right here, Mr. Brady.
Good.
Now, what about some dinner?
Oh, that's right. What do you have, darling?
Well, never mind about me. I've ordered. But you, I want you to watch your diet, Jim, like the doctor told you to.
Oh, I shall. Waiter, bring me 2 dozen oysters. You know, the large Lynn Havens. And a pot of soup and a dozen ears of corn. And some coffee and pie.
Jim, what about your diet?
Oh, yes, I almost forgot. Waiter, bring me some milk and crackers, too. And pour the wine, waiter. And pass me my root beer. And we'll drink a toast to those who'll come after us. New faces, new ideas, and new personalities. Let them come tomorrow, and good luck to them. But tonight, Broadway is ours. Bottoms up, Lillian.
Bottoms up, Jim.
That was a grand few moments, folks, and it took me back a long time. Josephine, when I was a little bitty fella, Gus Edwards took me to meet Lillian Russell. And it was on a honeymoon party when she married Alexander Moore. He was our ambassador to Spain.
What did you sing when the lady got married?
I sang off-key, but anyway, when I got finished, Miss Russell herself got up and she sang. She
what
sang an
say?
Old favorite of hers, dear. Here it is. That's what you were looking at. My Evening Star. And it was a lovely song. See, you read music. You should read it off and sing it.
My evening star, I wonder who you are. Set up so high, like a diamond in the sky. No matter what I do, I can go up to you. So come down from there, my evening star.
Thank you.
Yes, this is George. Oh, thank you, dear. Oh, yes, today I am a man. In spades, yes. Say, Mom, I got a lot of telegrams. I haven't opened them yet. No, you say Anna's fella didn't send me any? He's mad? Why? Because I called him a hippopotamus. Honey, that was over 10 years ago that I called him a hippopotamus. He never saw one until yesterday. I... Well, that's how it goes.
Oh, George.
Yes,
here's some telegrams for you. I'll read a few. Here's one from the governor of New York. My wife and I send you heartiest congratulations and best wishes for many more years of good health, happiness, and success. Herbert H. Lehman.
Very nice, Governor Lehman, to do.
And here's one from another great governor. Again, heartiest congratulations and best wishes on your birthday, Alfred E. Smith.
Good old Al.
Here's a nice one. May you be given as much enjoyment on your birthday as you will be giving the multitudes who listen to you. May you be spared many, many more years for your public service. Angelo J. Rossi, Mayor of San Francisco.
Well.
Here's one from America's first actor.
What does he say?
You will always be a kid to me. Love, George M. Cohn. Happy birthday and a thousand more from your friend Frank L. Shore, Mayor of Los Angeles.
Well, now, that's nice. I haven't lived here very long.
Birthday greetings and every good wish for your future. Frank Merriam, Governor of California.
Well, wasn't that nice of the governor?
And here's one from your oldest friend.
Oh, let me read that. Oh, here it is. Congratulations, Georgie. No one knows more than I have. Well, it's a lot of nice things. And so affectionately yours. I knew you'd read this far, you lowlife. Stop knocking my antique shop. Love, Eddie Cantor. Oh. Say, here's one from Jack Benny. Well, he must be on a train somewhere. Says, dear George, happy birthday to you, and as I may be a few minutes late for my program, please go over and pinch it for me. If you do not do this, no happy birthday, love, Jack Benny. Well, I guess I'll have to do that. I will. I'll run right over.
You know, dear, I think these messages should make you very, very happy.
I am very, very happy, dear. I'm happy and thankful for 1,000 memories. Hello? Hello, Mom. Yeah, well, look, Mom, I'll be at my branch office next week at the Fox Theater in Detroit, Michigan. You call me there next Sunday. At the same time, and today. At the same time, and today. At the same time, and flash, attention, Mayor Redding of Detroit. We'll be with you on April 16th for that benefit to the widows of those brave policemen. You betcha. Good night, Mom, and good night, everybody.
George Jessel Show brought to you Norma Talmadge and the guest appearance of those beloved comedians for over 50 years, Weber and Fields. Also, Tommy Tucker and his orchestra, Amy Arnell and the wonder child, Josephine Starr. Next week, George Jessel will have as his guest for the first time on the air one of the foremost comedians of the screen who will come out of retirement for this broadcast, Miss Constance Talmadge. So join us then in George Jessel's office. The doors will be open at 3 p.m. The selection, As Long As I Love, heard on today's program is from Little Miss Roughneck. Diamond Jim was played by Dudley Clements, Faye Templeton by June Terry. Material for these programs is written by Sam Carlton and George Jessel. The show originates through the facilities of the Don Lee Studios in Hollywood. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.